You have your Bibles, John chapter 4. I wanted you to see the circumstances around this passage. I want you to see how much Jesus cares for us. Notice, if you would, chapter 4 is a very unusual text. Verse number 4, and he must needs go, the key word is through Samaria. Now, what you have to understand is this. Back at the time early on when the temple was rebuilt, Nehemiah, Esther, there were groups of people that had been in Babylon and they had remarried Babylonian people and they were no longer full Jews. So they were sort of not considered as first-class Jewish people. And they were looked down on a little bit. But the real issue came in A.D. 6. It was a night whenever near the Passover. The temple was open at midnight. And some Samaritans came in. How many ever had a bad group of Americans do things? A bad group of people that just make the whole group look bad? Well, this group of Samaritans came in and they took dead men's bones and they sprinkled them on the altar in the temple. They defiled the temple. And when word got around the Samaritans did it, the Jewish people wrote them off. So not only were they not full Jews, but now they had desecrated the temple. And it was something they could not forgive. Now, you understand this. This is like 25 years later, and the Jews hate the Samaritans. As a matter of fact, the Jews would walk around Samaria so as not to put a foot inside the Samaritan territory. They would actually cross over the Jordan, ford the Jordan to avoid having to walk through or put a foot inside Samaria. So they hated the Samaritans. And the Samaritans in turn hated them. So there's this animosity going on. And Jesus comes. And so he makes the statement to his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. I can imagine Peter looked over at John and John looked over at James and they went, what's he thinking? We don't do that. Well, notice if you would, notice in chapter number 4, look in, if you would, in verse number 9. So Jesus, notice if you keep your finger in verse 9, but notice verse 7, now Jacob's well was there, verse 6, I'm sorry. Now Jacob's well was there, Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey. Now all of this is a part of the plan of the Lord Jesus to reach one wicked woman that thought she was kind of religious. So the message is the love of God for the kind of religion. For the love of God for the kind of religious. The love of God for those that are kind of religious. And maybe you hear today and you say, well, I'm not as good a Christian as I could be, but I'm kind of religious. Well, this woman was not liked by anybody in Samaria. So you got to think about this. Jesus must needs go through Samaria, and everybody goes, ugh, what's he thinking? We don't have anything to do with Samaritans. They're nobodies. They're nothing. And then there's a lady in Samaria that nobody wants to talk with, to be around. And that's the reason she comes at the time she does to get water, so nobody will be around and she won't have to talk to anybody. So she's the lowest of the low. And Jesus said, I've got to go to Samaria. He didn't tell anybody, but in his heart, I got this woman that needs to trust me as Savior. Now I want to tell you something. There's nobody in this room that's lower than her. You'll notice she was living in adultery. She had had five husbands 2,000 years ago. And she was part Jew. So every possible thing you could think of that was wrong, this woman had it. But she was somewhat religious. Now, the Lord Jesus said, but I love that woman in his heart. Jesus loves everybody in this room. He must needs come by where you are. He wants to go through where you are. He cares about you today. So I notice the circumstances. They're not good. Now you'll also notice, look in verse number 6, it's hot and Jesus is weary. So he goes by the well. The sixth hour, according to the Jewish clock, is noonday. So nobody goes to the well at noon. Can anybody tell me why? Philip? It's the hottest part of the day. You don't go to the well then. You get your water and you stay at home. Why you got to go? When we go around the world, different places in Africa, you'll see people with a 5-gallon bucket on the top of their head called a jerry can. And they'll walk around. Does anybody know a 5-gallon bucket must weigh 80 pounds? And they'll put it on their heads and they'll walk around. How many have ever seen that? Okay. They have a little donut, a little piece of cloth they wrap around, put on their head so it fits kind of flush and doesn't move around. And then they'll walk around like this. I would have a second baptism just getting that water home. I mean, I'm walking around, all of a sudden that water's splashing around. It'd be all over me. And so by the time I get home, wouldn't be much left. Well, these people, they go around like that. Well, if you can imagine, it is hot. Nobody goes at noontime. So she goes because she's an outcast. Jesus loves everybody. I must needs go through Samaria. There's this lady. He didn't tell the disciples that. Why are we going through there? So prejudice is not in the vocabulary of God. It's in ours. Because he loves everybody and wants us in heaven. If you have very little brain power, he loves you. If you have a lot of brain power, he loves you. If you're tall, he loves you. If you're short, he loves you. By the way, the Jewish people, are by normal, are they tall or short? Short. God says, I love you. And the Jews say, why did God love us so much, the Jewish people? He said, because I loved you. You were the least of all people, and I loved you. So if you're here today and you're somebody, you're real religious, God loves you, but he can't help you yet. You have to get to the point where you're a recognizer of your position. I'm not worthy of heaven, or he can't save you. This woman was somewhat religious. So she thought, well, I'm okay. I'm not as good as all these other people in town, but I'm not so bad. I didn't kill anybody. And so she has a little bit of religion. Now, when you notice, not only though those circumstances, but notice the confusion about religion. Notice what she says. In verse number nine, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? She doesn't even understand why he's there. She doesn't understand that he loves her. And folks, all the people in the world that we would meet, they don't understand that God loves them. Somebody's got to show them the love of God. And Jesus goes through Samaria so he can put to bed all of the prejudice and all of the facts that I'm not good enough to get to heaven. And he says, I'm coming to see a lady saved. Everybody in heaven knows he's going to go see the woman at the well. He loves her. I'm sure some people say in their minds, but look who she is. And Jesus said, just the kind of person I want to save. And you know what? None of us can be saved unless we realize we're a nobody. You can't be saved if you're somebody. Because you've got to humble yourself and say, Lord Jesus, I can't get to heaven by myself. I can't even get to the first step of heaven. Would you forgive me? Notice with me, if you would, in this passage, notice if you would in verse 9, which am a Samaritan, a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. No kidding, they don't. They didn't even talk to them. They go around their country. They spit on them. They don't want any part to do with them. And Jesus answered and said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. She didn't understand who he was. And many a time, people, we've heard of Jesus, but we don't understand who he is. So notice, if you would, this, there's this confusion. And I want you to see in verse number 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now she's thinking purely physical. Well, man, I'd like to have that water that won't last forever. Notice, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water spring up into everlasting life. Verse 15, and the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. It went right over her head. He's the water of life. He's the giver of life. You cannot live very long without water. It is required in our lives. It is required. If you don't drink much water, you have physical problems. You've got to drink water. You can go many days, 30, 40, 50 days without food, but you can't go 2 or 4 days without water. It's really hard. And so water's necessary. So he picks water and says, I am the water of life. I've got water to give you that lasts forever. And she said, well, give me that water. I don't have to come to this well again in the middle of the noonday. I'd like to have permanent water. Well, it goes over her head. So notice, if you would, what he says. Now keep in mind her confusion. Look at it, if you would, in verse number 21. Jesus saith unto her, verse 19. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say, now our fathers Samaritans, your fathers, you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So she's hung up on where. What's the best place to worship? Well, I'm glad that Sterling's not the best place, and that Dulles is not the best place, and that I'm not grateful you can worship anywhere. But she's hung up on there's a certain place you got to worship. Like, now listen very carefully. There are people who think you can only get spiritually things done in this building. Now, God says this building is the place to get a lot of spiritual things done, but you can get a lot of spiritual things at home beside your bed on your knees with your Bible and talking to the Lord. You can get saved there. How many of you were saved outside of a church? Would you raise your hand? Let me see it. Look at this. Look at all this right here. So it's not the place that you are worried about. And so this lady says, well, y'all say it's this place, Jerusalem, and we say it's on this mountain. And so she's confused about the religion. What is it? Which one is it? Well, notice, if you would, with me, she's hung up in tradition. Now, folks, tradition will get you to hell. Tradition is about what somebody said, and it got passed down. Tradition will ruin your heart. Tradition is that you can get baptized and it'll take you to heaven. That's tradition. Tradition is you can light candles and it'll help absolve sin for the dead. Tradition. Tradition says if you give money, it'll help you get to heaven. I told you, out at the property, there's a man out there that came up to me and says, I hope that me helping your church build this building helps me get to heaven. Do you understand that tradition, what people have said? Hey, how many ever heard this one? Well, I'm not that religious, but my grandmother. Raise your hand. Let me see it. My grandmother. My grandfather was a preacher. They're relying on the fact that someone before them is going to help them get closer to heaven by their coattails. Do you understand? That's tradition. Tradition is not a part of this book. This book are the facts of life. And so the Lord Jesus said, look, I want you to understand, I'm coming to pay your debt of sin. So Jesus talks to this woman. Now notice with me, if you would, in verse number 22. Ye say, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, Jesus is speaking. But the hour cometh, and now is. Now is the time. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Lord is seeking for people to be saved, seeking people to worship him. Well, notice if you would, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And verse number 25, the woman saith unto him, keep in mind, she's got some religion about her. I know that Messiah cometh. Wow, most of the world doesn't know that. Here's a woman that's had five husbands living in adultery, and she's religious enough to know Jesus is coming at that point. Notice what happens? Which is called Christ. She even knew his name. When he has come, he will tell us all things. She was very astute in some things about religion, but she's still hung up on, confused about where all this takes place. Jerusalem? On this mountain? She doesn't understand. Now, will you notice, if you would, look, if you would, in verse number 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. So, for the first time in her life, obviously, she meets the Messiah. And he says, I am the one you're speaking of, the Messiah. Now, she has to make a choice. The circumstances are against her. The confusion in her mind is against her. How is she ever going to get this clear? Well, now remember, notice if you would go back in verse number 16. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come here. She says, Lord, give me this water. Now this is a key point I want you to notice. Sir, give me this water. She's ready to get saved, but she's not ready to put the Lord first in her life. She's not willing to really... it's all physical. I'll come to church if that'll help me. And she says, Lord, sir, give me this water. It's all physical. She doesn't yet understand this. Do we understand that? It's the only way you can get saved. If we confess our sin. Whoso confesseth his sin and believeth in his heart shall be saved. We have to humble ourselves. Not before the people in this room. You don't come up and confess your sin to me or anybody else. That's another tradition. You confess it to the one who died for you only. And if you don't, you cannot go to heaven. But you can't come and say, Lord, I'm sorry I did those things. Forgive me. That's what she's asking. Hey, give me this water. No, you got to get to this point where you say, I don't deserve to have that water. I don't deserve to have the everlasting life, the water that lasts forever. Lord, I am sorry. Lord, I don't deserve it. Would you give it to me? That's the person that God touches their heart, the humble heart, the one that says, I can't get to heaven. She's not there yet. So notice what he does. And the Holy Spirit's trying to work in all of our hearts, whether it's to make us ready for salvation or ready for change. To be more in his image. All of us are in those two groups this morning. Everybody in this room. And sometimes the Lord has to show us ourselves. So notice what he does. In verse number 16, she just asked for this water. Very physical answer. Give me the water that lasts forever. I don't want to come to this well again. Jesus is trying to take it to the spiritual now. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come here. Well, now that's a question. Which one? Trying to figure it out. So, in her mind, now what's this? The woman answered and said, I have no husband. She answers honestly. Step number one to salvation. Be honest with God. I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. First off, we have to humble ourselves. We have to be honest. And then we have to humble ourselves. Honest, humble ourselves. You can't be saved. So notice then what he says, verse 19, then the woman said unto him, sir, I believe thou art a prophet. She's beginning to understand she's not religious. She's not ready for salvation yet. And then Jesus, she says, I think you're a prophet. That's not good enough. There are a lot of people think that Jesus is a prophet. She's got honor. She's beginning to understand. She's, okay, I realize it. But she's not ready to humble herself yet. But she's beginning to, confusion is beginning to lift a little bit. And then Jesus says to her, look, I am he. Then she makes a choice. Now, everybody in this room, you got to make the same choice. You have to be honest with yourself, and then you have to humble yourself. And then you have to say, Lord, it's me. Or you can't be saved. Now, what I want you to understand is this. The Lord will go anywhere to find you if you're willing to humble yourself. If you're willing to look at your own life, if you're willing to say, I admit it, I'm not worthy of salvation, the Lord will go anywhere. He'll come to your work. He'll come to your home. He'll come to your apartment. He'll come to your church. He'll come where you are. I must needs go through Samaria. Forget all that everybody thinks. I'm coming for you. And today the Lord Jesus is coming for you. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't let your mind wander. Today, he said, today I'm coming to you. Acquaint now thyself with him. Job 22, 21. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Today, the Lord Jesus would like to get it settled in your heart. And he comes to you, everybody in this room, and he says, I'm the Messiah. I am he. Now, you first have to pause for a minute and you have to look at it and say, I'll admit it. I'll humble myself. Lord Jesus, could you forgive me of my sin? It's amazing to me that that prayer is enough to change eternity, everybody in this room, because Jesus loves you. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Romans. I want you to see these two verses. Turn to Romans chapter 10. I want you to notice. Look with me, if you would, Romans chapter 10. And if you're here today and you say, well, I'm saved, I know about those verses. Well, let's just turn and make sure so that you can share them with somebody else. So you know right where it's found. On Wednesday night, and when you come to Wednesday night church, many are in Juana's and different places and youth. I'm sort of giving some verses and asking people where they're found. And most times people can say, it's in James. It's somebody in here can get the book. Some of these books have got 60, 70 chapters in it. Psalms got 150. It's in Psalms. Let me find it. You know what? I want you to see Romans 10. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Look in verse number 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There it is. Look, if you would, in verse 13. For whosoever, five husbands living in adultery, for whosoever, bank robber, for whosoever, covetous, for whosoever, prideful, for whosoever, religious, somewhat religious, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there are parts that you and I have to realize we must do. We must humble ourselves like this woman. Now, turn me, if you would, back over to John. I want you to see this. I want you to see the choice she made but I want you to see the change that happened to her. Notice with me, if you would, the choice she made. Look, if you would, in chapter 4. Look, if you would, in verse number 29. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot. No longer she found the living water because she didn't need her pot. She got it. She didn't need the pot because she could go back anytime and get it now. Notice what happens in verse number 28. And went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She had already, on the way home, she had had the meeting with the Lord. This is the Christ. This is him. Is it not him? And so she's already accepted him as her Savior. And notice with me, if you would, in verse 32. So the men come back from town. They've got some food. And they offer it to Jesus Christ. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I've got spiritual meat. You know what it is? The woman at the well got saved. And she's going back to tell people. Look, do you understand you're the very thing that keeps the Lord Jesus going? You're meat. You're what he needs. He's come to seek and to save you today. Now, let me pause for a minute. If you say, well, Pastor, I've been saved. Well, let me ask you this. Look in verse number 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Why? For the saying of the woman. So she went back. Now listen very carefully. No one would listen to her. She has to go get water at noontime because nobody wants to be around her. What changed? This. Did you know when your heart changes and you're truly born again in God's God has taken your heart and you're a child of God and you've allowed him to work in your life. You are changing it to his image. People will listen to you because you're different. There's a pleasantness about you. There's an integrity about you. There's an honesty about you. Folks, that's missing among Christians. And when we go to this new building, I sure would like for you and I to take a little bit of time on April the 9th and get on. I would like for you to do it now. Start now and come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, today I want you to help me change to be like you. Lord, give me the heart of no prejudice. Give me the heart, Lord, of seeing people where they are. Five husbands. In adultery. Lord, help me to be like you. I must needs go through Samaria. When I see the word through, I realize he's not going around. He loves everybody in this room. He cares about you. But he can't save you unless you admit and say, Lord, humble myself. I'm sorry. You've got to believe that he can save you and confess your sin to him. And he'll do it. It's called eternal life. And it's a gift to give to you. Notice back up in John chapter 4. Notice what he says. Look in verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God. You know what the gift of God is? Turn your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 6. I want you to see this. Romans chapter 6. Notice what the gift of God is. Notice this. The gift of God. Romans 6. Notice if you would verse 23. The second half of it. The gift of God. Romans 6, 23. Second half. The gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ. Jesus is standing there with the woman at the well saying, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew what I'm going to pay for you, if you would trust me, I could save you today. Today, are you sure you're on the way to heaven? Now, folks, listen. We have to put out, we're all afraid of what people think. You know what that's called? It's called peer pressure. Everybody here in this room is that way. Does my tie match? Is this suit nice enough? Where do I sit if you're a visitor? Wonder if people will speak to me. Look, all these thoughts the old devil puts in our minds because Jesus has already gone through to come after you. And this is the place in this room. This is a hospital. Oh, I'm not in white, but this is a hospital. And everybody in this room deserves to be here. We're all sinners. But Jesus loves you. He cares for you. And the question is, if you've trusted him as Savior, do you care for other people? This woman, who nobody likes, who's a second-class citizen from the beginning, now she's an adulteress. And, oh, by the way, what do they do to adulteresses in this day and age? So what's she doing running around? She's still alive. So she has escaped death. She is this far from hell. And she knows it. And when she meets Jesus, everything changes. And she said, come see the man that told me all things that ever I did. All he told her was you had five husbands and you're living in adultery. But you know what happened? It humbled her. It caused her to say, he's right. She saw herself. Have you seen yourself today? Now, when your mind starts wandering, you can't see yourself. And the Holy Spirit begins to touch your heart. What kind of husband are you? What kind of wife are you? What kind of son or daughter are you? As a child of God, he's counting on you and I to be changed into his image. So when we go around people that don't want to listen to us because we're a sinner, they'll say, something's different. I'm going to listen. This woman goes into town and all the men listen. What happened? Jesus. The Holy Spirit changed her heart. She went back and it was obvious. If you've got a humble, broken heart, everybody's going to listen. At least, oh. And you may not have the ability to see someone saved, but they're going to tell you care. I read a long time ago, I was reading a little story about a gentleman that was in the lobby of a hotel, very wealthy hotel, very expensive hotel. Husband and wife, she's in a mink coat, staying there. They're obviously somebody's. And he walks up and he starts to talk to her and share the gospel with her. Husband walks over, just finishes paying the bill. What are you doing, honey? What are you talking to him for? And come on. She grabs him. He grabs her by the hand, starts walking her out. She paused and said, honey, if you could have looked into his face, heard him talk, you would have known he cared for me. You can't. There's not a formula for showing someone that you care for them, except God puts it in your heart. She goes back to the city, and they looked at her and said, she's different. Something's happened to her. And I like this. Notice what you would. Verse number 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city, men and women, believed on him for the saying of the woman. When you talk to people in school, do they see a difference in your heart? Do they see you've been changed by the Holy Spirit? Listen very carefully. A lot of change happens like this. It's our attitudes changed. Everything is different. It doesn't take long. It's what makes marriages sweet when an attitude changes that quick. It's what makes relationships back together again when something changes completely. Now, that doesn't mean everybody trusts you. That takes sometimes months and years to rebuild. But change that God makes in your life fixes a lot of things. But you and I have to humble ourselves to be changed. Lord, I want to give you my heart. The psalmist had it. Search me, O God, and try me. See if there be, listen to this, any wicked way in me. You can't be changed holding on to one thing. You've got to do this. And then Jesus can change you. You can't be saved. I'll ask him to forgive me, but the thief on the cross, I'm going to close with this, is hanging. He's receiving capital punishment. That's the cross. Now, he deserved it. And Jesus, he looks to Jesus Christ. He is so embarrassed by his position and his sin that he turns to Jesus, Lord, would you just remember me? I'm such a nobody, I can't even talk to you about possibly getting to heaven. But when you get to heaven, would you just remember me? And Jesus could see in his heart that he wanted to go to heaven and he was ashamed of his sin. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus is willing to save anybody and everybody if you're willing to humble yourself and say, it's me. I'm sorry. And if you're willing to allow your heart to forgive, to ask for forgiveness, to let Christ change you. Folks, all of us in this room need this change. It's changed into his images there for a reason. This whole year, I want you to come to church and take your mindset and say, Lord, change me. Help me to love my wife more. Help me to love my husband more. Lord, help me to love my parents more. Lord, change me. But it will do no good to have a $30 million building and nobody willing to say, change me. It's Jesus and you. He said, I'm going through Samaria. He ignores who you are. And he comes to you to make you who he wants you to be. Are you willing today? Let's bow his word of prayer. Could I encourage you to just come to this altar this morning and say, Lord Jesus, would you change me? If you're here today and you've never been saved, I know there's a lot of very highly and successful people in this room. You've been to college. You've got a master's degree, a PhD. You're very successful in this room. But Jesus looks at none of that. He looks at the heart and says, will you let me change you? Will you let me give you living water? We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. Could I encourage you to come to this altar this morning? So, Lord, would you change me? Would you see yourself? Jesus left heaven, came to this world. He went through Samaria, this old world, to save you. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Father, we're all the woman at the well. We're all gross sinners in your sight. And yet, when you save us, everything has changed. Can be, if we'll turn palms up. Lord, speak to hearts this morning. In your name I pray. Amen.